this is Jeff Steiner from Americans in France. And I am talking with Robert Hain. Robert, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Where are you?
I am in the 18th R&D Small of Paris. It is -5 degrees today.
Yeah, that's right. France is going through a cold snap right now. Is Paris as you imagined it before you came?
There's a grandiose feeling that I get that hits me every once in a while when I'm, you know, going down a boulevard and you have one of these picturesque kind of slow motion moments where you're just in awe with the architecture and the beauty of Paris.
Did you want to come to Paris? Is it a dream or how did you end up in Paris?
My original excuse, if you will, was to follow the girl that I was dating at the time. And we were in Los Angeles and we were tired of palm trees and all the plastic. So it was either New York or Paris. And we decided she got a job as a nanny and I was going to come and study Comédie de l'Art and ride my skateboard down the Champs-Élysées. So that was the original excuse. But after 3 months, the relationship didn't work out, but every once in a while you might see me riding my skateboard down the Champs-Élysées still. That was kind of the original idea.
Now, I discovered you through your YouTube channel, French Fry TV. Can you tell me a little bit more about it and how it started?
Well, the first video I did officially was, can I say the dirty word?
You can say the dirty word.
Shit French people say, which I was motivated by the Americans were going crazy after shit girls say, and I had seen what they say in L.A. and what they say in New York, and I knew that Paris had to have its own version. And since then, I did that version. I was just super crabby that day about traffic and grumpy people in the streets. And so basically my version was thinking of all the swear words that I have accumulated in the last 10 years. And basically I put that on and it was reblogged by Mademoiselle and Arte and Canal Plus. And they seemed to be confused about whether or not it was a Canadian or a French guy trying to sound like an American. And I was, I guess the right word is tickled. I was super enthusiastic about the response, so I decided to try and keep going. I'm an actor, so for me it was the best way to get a little bit more exposure here in France.
Right.
And since then, I guess I've just, it's hard for us to organize sometimes because we're all doing it for free and for fun. It's called French Fried TV, because I've been here so long, I'm definitely fried.
I like that.
And so we try and throw up something at least once a month, and sometimes it's more, sometimes it's a little bit less. But yeah, people are really enthusiastic, and now I've started working with some French actors who are at the Jamel Comedy Club. And some names in the French community are excited, and there's a lot more interesting things on the way. I had a meeting yesterday with a digital distribution company who is interested in distributing it on the internet and promoting it. So I'm pretty excited about how that's taking off.
So in a few years, we might see you on television or in movies.
Well, that is the goal. Yes, my goal is to entertain.
Right.
And I feel like the 10 years that I've spent here, instead of looking at it like a tragedy, I try and look at it like it's a sitcom, because there's some things that are just so, and the best expressions sometimes come to me in French, so à l'ouest or loufoque, just absolutely crazy things that you wouldn't understand as a simple boy from Minnesota, which I am. And but you just kind of roll with it, you know? You just kind of do the best you can.
What are some of the things that you are agacé by? You're aghast.
Wow. How many hours is this podcast supposed to be?
We only got a couple. We got about 26.
It's really hard, you know. At first, you come and you're used to, like Burger King, having it your way as an American, and you come to France and you just need to understand that when French people take everything a little bit more seriously, even the baker, and the sandwiches that he makes are a work of art. So if you go in and you say, oh, that looks like a nice sandwich, can you add cheese to that? Well, they don't like adding chèvre cheese, goat cheese, to their pâté sandwiches. So when you ask for cheese on your pâté sandwich, you're likely to get refused. And if you don't understand that, that's your own problem. So they really don't care, I think, about, you know, of course everybody cares, and I think they want their work to be appreciated. But then again, an artist is never satisfied, and if you don't necessarily like their work, they're going to tell you to go away. So I think it's this concept of it's their pride that we don't necessarily understand where it fits in. We're very vocal about our pride. God bless America. My sports team is the best. And so you don't really know where they take pride. For example, the other day when I was buying cheese at the farmer's market, the women who run the cheese shop, I asked them if you eat the outside of the cheese, you know, because sometimes it's not like American cheese. It's not like wax on the outside. It's more like straight up mold. Okay. I asked the ladies, I said, so do you eat the outside of this cheese? And they said, oh, well, a real amateur, so a real cheese lover, would eat all of it. And I said, well, that sounds a little zan-zan, which to me is saying goofy or silly. And they looked at me like they were going to cut my head off. Zan-zan is not what you call a woman who loves the outside of cheese.
What is it? What's the word? You had a snafu there, a cultural gaffe, a cultural gaffe.
Exactly. You never know when exactly they're going to be really proud about who they are or what they're doing. But that's kind of natural, you know, because we didn't grow up with the same references.
Yeah, we don't have the same references. That's a really interesting point, though. Americans are more vocal about the pride in the French art. I think that's really true. I think that's a very astute point, actually. What's it like driving a motorcycle in Paris?
The French people call the motorcycle driver a pilot. And you do definitely get the feeling like you're on a, I mean, it's kind of a new experience for me in the fact that in America, you've got your three lanes. But here in France, you've got four. You've got the lane between the fast and the middle lane, which is reserved, basically. It's not even a lane. It's the dotted line, which is reserved for motorcyclists.
It's a made-up lane.
It's a made-up lane. And you'd think that the cops would think that that's illegal. However, when police motorcycles are on the freeway, they're honking their horn, getting the other cars out of the way so that the motorcycles can get through, which I found astonishing that they promote that. But I guess it keeps the traffic flowing. Other than that, I've always said that Paris is a battle between war veterans, sick people, pregnant women, and handicapped. You never know who is supposed to have the priority, but being in the streets of Paris, there's parts that are kind of insane. Like when the mom wants to have priority in the walkway, she puts the baby carriage out there first. And I'm thinking that that's not the wisest way to, you know, cross this crosswalk.
Right.
The other interesting thing that happened to me the other day is that even though I was already in the crosswalk with a bus, When the lights turned red in front of Gare Saint-Lazare, just like in New York, they have 500 people crossing the streets at the same time. Some guy decided that it was his priority to be there, and he grabbed me and started calling me dirty names until I decided that I wasn't going to practice my French, and I was going to yell at him back, but in English. And that's when he realized that I was not the guy to mess with, and he ran away into the crowd. So you have all kinds of different variables when driving in the streets.
You sure do. So actually, sometimes not speaking French or pretending not to speak French is not a handicap. It's something good.
Well, exactly. The other interesting thing that's happened to me recently is that I dropped off somebody, and when you drop someone off on the sidewalk, you get back onto the street, and I had to pass through the bus lane, which is reserved for buses, and it's a 125-euro fine if you're riding in the bus lane. Well, I passed through the bus lane, and the police officer decided to pull me over. And when he saw my Minnesota driver's license, he said, oh, Kevin Garnett, Minnesota, I love basketball. How long have you been in France for?
How was your French before you came to France?
I could say, je m'appelle Robert, and oui, oui, mon petit chou, which is not correct. Oui, oui, ma petit chou. And so those were the two sentences I knew when I got here. The third sentence that I learned was, je cherche le travail, which is not correct either. It's, je cherche du travail. And I used that sentence walking around Paris the first 3 days that I was here. I got to the top of Montmartre, handing out my CV, my resume, handing it out, got to the top of Montmartre, and then the bus passed me. So for all you travelers going to Montmartre, just know there's a bus that goes all the way to the top. You don't have to walk up. And then I took 3 months of French at a private tutoring school, which no longer exists, and that's the only French that I actually had. What I do recommend to anybody coming here is to study your French, learn French. My main problem today is that I have the vocabulary, but if you ask me how to conjugate a word, I'm completely lost.
You know, that's my problem too. I kind of learned it on the street, and I can understand pretty much everything, but the formulation of the tenses sometimes is difficult.
I often say, which is basically true, while I was washing dishes, I learned speak French listening to French rap, Generations Radio, and a popular French rap group here is NTM, which I will not translate that name for you, but it's similar to the NWA title of the American rap group. So my French is very street French.
Difficult for you to find a job when you first got here?
Well, no, because, I mean, yes. No, in the fact that I was willing to do anything to make money to survive. So I was a prior to a career working at the Mark Taper Theater in Los Angeles, I had to humble myself and do whatever it took, so I started washing dishes. 3 months later, I was the chef cook on the weekends, which, you know, for me is, hey, Dad, I'm a head cook in Paris. So, you know, there is something kind of distinguished about that until you see where I was working. But I was very lucky, you know. I found a guy who was a bartender who's half American, and after the third day of walking around saying "Je cherche le travail," I got that job. Then I became a cook. Then I left for 3 months, came back and started teaching yoga, and I had that to hold on to for a while, and have started working exclusively on French fried and doing a lot of commercial work. Getting a job in France, however, you know, you need to be prepared for that. And that's why I think it's very important for people to study their French before they come, or at least to have a year of French under their belt after they have been here for a year. Because there's a lot of secretary jobs I could have taken over the year if I was able to speak French better. So I think that was a big handicap.
It's kind of that you have to take that step back.
Well, it was a huge step back, and it was starting over. And I was, you know, I was more than happy to do that at that time. And I'm glad I did, because I'm not really ready to do that again. But I think it worked out very well for me. I'm really happy today to be living the American dream, which is kind of funny, because when we talk about the American dream, it's completely different than what the French mean by living the American dream, I think. But for me, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm very lucky. I guess the one thing that I've learned that is the most important to me is that even though we can generalize French people and American people, the truth is that you find good people and bad people everywhere you go. I was lucky to find some very, very good people here in France who are French, who, when I had lost all hope thinking, well, this is just crazy, I should go back home, who said, you know, it's cool. We really like you. And if you need a place to stay, stay with me. And you realize that you've got good friends, but they're just not going to be as vocal about it as Americans.
That's really good. To finish up, do you have any suggestions for people who were thinking of moving to France?
Do it. Do it. You can't. It's kind of, you know, so I've started doing stand-up comedy, and I said to the guy who hosts the show, I want to do it. I should be ready in a month. He said, I'll program you for this Sunday, which was a week later. I said, okay, I'll do it. And you just have to be ready to have the craziest things happen to you and you know, and just roll with the punches. I would say just come and do it. If you can always go home, but you can't always leap, take that leap of faith, which is, I think I can fit in there. I told you about this before. The thing that I might be holding on to now is what I heard recently, a woman saying that when she was at home in the States, she was always felt out of place. And now that she came to France, she realized that she was absolutely out of place, so she felt right at home. Uh-huh. And I think that's kind of good for me. And if you feel out of place at home, and you're listening to this at home, come to Paris.
And then watch French Fry TV, right?
Absolutely. Thank you for plugging me. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm super excited about the fact that people all over the world are enjoying these sketches that I'm making of which I find universal because it's just basically stories about a guy who's a fish out of water. And I think many people will be able to relate to French Fry TV.
Well, thanks, Robert. It's been really cool talking with you.
Jeff, I can't tell you how pleased I am that you asked me to be a part of Americans in France.